Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Richmond. It's 12 noon, and I'm AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910, The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free anywhere you get your apps at. It's AUDACY, and you can take the show with you on the go. We have taken the show with us here to Capital Ale House in Innsbruck, as it is a terrible Tuesday. Richmond's home for the most football talk in town here on 910 The Fan. The high school football 804 broadcast game of the week with Gary Hess and Gary Criswell. College football, your home for all things Hokies and Hoos. VCU basketball will be around the corner. And then the Commanders in the NFL. And like I said, it's a terrible Tuesday. It sucked so much. I mean, I'm running off of two cups of coffee already because I had to stay up late for that Monday night football game against the Chicago Bears, and that's what we'll be talking about, that Monday night football loss for Washington. A game they should have won. A game they absolutely should have won. And we will be reacting to the loss all day. If you want to vent, I'd love to hear from you. If you want to bitch and complain about the turnovers, just call in. We want to hear from you. 833-804-0910. We want to make this the most interactive radio show possible. Call AWOD, 833-804-0910, or tweet us at AWOD Radio, at 910 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Or if it's a pissed off tweet, we'll read it on air. We'll go through the box score breakdown, the who, what, when, how, why Washington lost 25-24, and my 10 takeaways at 1 p.m. But you know how we like to start the show, by catching you up on anything you might have missed around the sports world when we open up the sports app.
Here it is, everybody.
Clearly, this is the future.
Stats, scores, highlights.
Whoa, are you serious?
Wi-Fi plus 3G, 64K. This one.
The sports app.
Yeah, luckily we weren't the only upset last night. How about Buffalo? Just getting demolished by Bijan Robinson and the Atlanta Falcons. Told you how tough they are at home. Bijan Robinson breaks a tackle, and he's going to go to the house 81 yards. Let's take a listen to the call.
A first and five. Robinson off the right side, breaks free. Bijan Robinson spinning down the sideline, still going. Can they catch him? They cannot. Touchdown, Falcons, 81 yards.
That was one carry for 81 yards, part of his 19 carries for 170 yards and a touchdown. Tyler Allgeier also got into the end zone, and the Atlanta Falcons had a two-score lead in the fourth quarter. But here comes Buffalo trying to come back and make it a game. It is Josh Allen leading his team down the field. But oh no, he turns it over. The game-sealing interception. Here is the call on Monday Night Football.
On your side.
And Allen finds something in the end zone. That would be the first option. Scrambles and ball batted down and intercepted. Off the deflection. The interception is made by Malone, who steps in there.
So the top team in the AFC, the Buffalo Bills, lose to the Atlanta Falcons. Bills 4-2. Falcons now 3-2. Let's go over to Northwest Stadium in Landover, Maryland. The light show was awesome for the Commanders' first Monday night football game of the season, but the team didn't show up for the first 15 minutes. They're down 6-0 after the end of the first quarter. This is three first quarters in a row where Washington fails to score. They go into a break with a little bit of momentum, get the ball first to start the second half, down 13-7. Washington gets a field goal. Chicago gets a field goal. And then Washington put together their most impressive drive of the game. 9 plays, 84 yards, and on a fake screen, Jaden Daniels finds Luke McCaffrey wide open, and he gets into the end zone. Let's take a listen to the radio call.
Snap to Daniels, pumps left, looks right, throws open to Luke McCaffrey behind the defense. He walks into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Luke McCaffrey was sprung free!
And that makes it 24-16 Washington. They have all the momentum here. The start of the fourth quarter. This is why we and Dan Quinn talks at length about complementary football. Your offense is hot. Your special teams is playing well. Your defense needs a stop. Can they get a stop? No. Three plays, 61 yards, and DeAndre Swift goes 55 yards to the house, and he breaks a tackle from Quan Martin and makes this a 24-22 game. Let's take a listen to the call.
They just got it away, and it's Swift with a catch, and still going. DeAndre Swift veers into the end zone.
And so frustrating because, as you heard on the television call, and if anybody watched it, there was a zero on the play clock. I know it could have been 0.1, right? It could have been 0.2 or something like that. But everybody watching, it felt like it should have been a delay of game. Instead, it's a 55-yard house call for DeAndre Swift. All of a sudden, it's a two-point game. Washington would punt. Chicago would punt. Washington would move into field goal range. All right, they're going to at least go up by four, right? It's third and five. Jaden Daniels drops the snap. Can't hand it off to Bill. It's a fumble. It's on the ground. Chicago picks it up, and it just felt like you didn't know if Jaden was going to get another opportunity. And at the buzzer, Jake Moody from 38 yards to give Chicago the win.
Snap a bit high. Kick is good. And the Bears win. Jake Moody, a hero tonight.
Yeah, no time for a Hail Mary at the buzzer. Moody wins it for the Bears 25-24. Let's talk October baseball, postseason baseball on the Sports app. So there is a game today between the Dodgers and the Brewers, but let's rewind and we'll start with Seattle against the Blue Jays. How about Seattle at the plate this postseason? They have been fantastic. It was Rodriguez with a homer in the first inning, giving them a 3-0 lead. But the Toronto Blue Jays would climb back in it with a couple of runs in the bottom of the first, and then another in the bottom of the second. We move over to the fifth inning. It's a 3-3 game, and Polanco is up at the plate.
Shot to right center field. Varsho on the run. He's at the track. He's at the wall. It's gone! It's Polanco again! Jorge Polanco is owning October for the Mariners. He's given them a 6-3 lead.
And that would be enough for the Mariners. Here's the final call.
And the 2-0 pitch swung on, ground ball to third. Up with the ball, Gino. Down to second, one. Polanco's relay to first, and the ball game is over. The Mariners are two wins away from the promised land.
Let's go to Dodgers against the Brewers, and this was a terrific pitching matchup. How about Blake Snell in this one? Zeros, no crooked numbers. We go to the top of the sixth inning, and a former Atlanta Brave, one of the greatest baseball players of our generation, Freddie Freeman, up at the plate.
One out in the sixth. Freeman, a high fly ball to right. It is deep. Back on it, cheerio, and Freddie Freeman sends one out of here. A rainmaker to right field, and the Dodgers strike first.
I mean, I'll tell you, Freddie Freeman's been one of the most clutch baseball players of the last 15 years. It just feels like he always shows up in October. Dodgers get the win 2-1. Here's the final call.
Terang, a swing and a miss, and Blake Treinen closes the door. The Brewers strand the bases loaded, and the beleaguered Dodger bullpen searching for answers. They found one in Blake Treinen tonight.
So game two is today. 8 p.m. will be your first pitch. Dodgers Brewers on TBS. Let's go over to college football on the Sports app. So there's a really good Friday night game in the ACC this upcoming weekend. It will be Miami hosting Louisville. Louisville's 4-1, but the U are 5-0 and have yet to lose a game with new quarterback Carson Beck. Nebraska-Minnesota, also a good Friday night game with a top 25 team in Nebraska against 4-2 Minnesota. Looking ahead to the weekend slate, I think it has to be highlighted by Ole Miss, who's undefeated this year, taking on the Georgia Bulldogs, who are 5-1. And, of course, Georgia is coming off of that big win over Auburn. They've now won two in a row after falling to Alabama. Indiana is now up to number three after a big win over Oregon. Oregon's down to eight. They'll take on Rutgers. And for the local team, it is Virginia at number 18, has moved into the top 25, has stayed in the top 25 after their big win over Florida State. They backed that up with another overtime victory. Now taking on Washington State at home. That's going to be a battle because Washington State fought till the very end against Ole Miss last weekend, losing 24-21. And right now, Ole Miss has been one of the best teams in the country. But here's who Paul Feinbaum thinks is the best team currently in college football.
I'm out on that, and Miami fans may not like it, but I think Ohio State's the best team in the country, and they have such great fans up there. We all know that. And just look at this. To me, it's really a two-way race right now in terms of the elite teams. Ohio State, Miami, Oregon, Ole Miss. You can just mix those up a thousand different ways. Frankly, Alabama's going to move up. They're closer to the elite level. But to me, Ohio State has been nearly flawless all year. They're the best team in the country and the favorite to win it all.
Yeah, I mean, they've won every game by double digits. They've got Wisconsin this weekend. Penn State's on the schedule. That's not going to be too difficult. James Franklin out of a job. Purdue, they'll win that. UCLA, all right, there's a little bit of excitement. I don't think they knock off Ohio State. Maybe that final game of the season against Michigan, but you could be looking at an undefeated Ohio State Buckeyes this season. Let's move over to the NBA on the Sports app. So the Washington Wizards will begin their 2025-2026 season next Wednesday against the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll bring on Dave Johnson every Wednesday for a Wizards Wednesday. He's the radio voice of the Washington Wizards. There are preseason games going on tonight, including the Lakers taking on the Suns late night, 10 p.m. will be your tip-off, and Luka Doncic to make his preseason debut for the Lakers, who we do know will be without LeBron James for at least the first 3 weeks of the season. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. It's a terrible Tuesday for Commanders fans like myself. Give us your thoughts, 833-804-0910. Tweet us at AWOD Radio or at 910 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Washington Commanders, and we are broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck on a terrible Tuesday after a defeat on Monday Night Football. At the last second, the last play of the game, Jake Moody's kick is good. Chicago wins 25-24. Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, it's Michael Phillips. What's going on, Michael?
And it's a terrible Tuesday. That was a winnable game, and it slipped away.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime we get MP on the mic, you know it's time for a little crosstalk on the Fan.
If I could just have your attention.
It's Crosstalk with Adam Epstein and Michael Phillips on the Fan. It's like that one 90s movie that everybody loved. What's the name of that movie? It's not Crosstalk, but it sounds like Crosstalk. It's Crosstalk on the Fan. Oh, Face Off with Travolta and Nick Cage. But this is Crosstalk.
Michael, I want to start with a little game here of overrated by our fan base or not. Mikey Sainristil. How good is Mikey Sainristil in the NFL?
Well, you know, he's been moved around so often, I feel like it's hard to get a fair gauge on his potential and his long-term ability to settle in. He played so many positions last year, and now already this year, he's inside. He's, you know, we've seen him outside a little bit. He's dropping interceptions. That sticks. Nobody likes dropping an interception. Those could have been game-changing plays. he is in position to drop interceptions, which other members of this secondary haven't even been had attempts at dropping interceptions so far this season. I think he's good. I think the reason they're hanging on to Marshawn Lattimore and riding this train as long as they are, I don't think Sanders still's ready to be a number one, and I think that leaves them in this purgatory where he's good but not good enough to take over a needed role right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to feel like Mikey Sanders still excels in zone defense and simply on the man-to-man stuff. And we know this about Lattimore, but Sanders still and maybe even Amos, if you just go across the field, you're going to beat them. And that's been the story of this entire season, it feels like. And that was certainly the case on Monday night. Just felt like anytime Caleb needed a big play, they just called a crossing route. And it could have been Luther Burden or DJ Moore or Roma Dunze or Olamide Zaccheaus. But one of those guys was going to be open.
I don't love getting beat by the same concept every single week. That, to me, and you know, look, the talent is not where it needs to be. This is not a top 15 defense in the NFL by talent. But the same thing, the same way, 4 weeks in a row now, you do have to ask about coaching at some point. You know, is there a way to put these guys in better positions? Because what they're doing right now is clearly not the answer, Adam.
Is Bill overrated? I already told you, I thought Jeremy McNichols should have gotten more carries, especially after the fumble last week, and then he puts it on the ground again this week. The numbers don't look very good. 3.6 yards per carry, 17 carries for just 61 yards. Were we overhyping this rookie running back?
Nah, Bill's awesome. I still like the vision. I still like the speed. It was a rough night for everybody up front. I'm not worried about Bill long-term. Two fumbles next to each other is absolutely cause for concern and cause for rethinking how he's training, what he's doing. I love that he has bounced back from both of them. I was late on the Bill bandwagon. I'm going to resist jumping off the Bill bandwagon as quickly as well. All the things we've seen from him, we still saw from him last night at times. On a rainy night, on a night where it was tough to get any momentum offensively for Washington, he was still playing well after the fumble. You know, McNichols got more time because they needed that pass protection. I don't want Jeremy McNichols to be a bell cow running back. I think that's a misread of who he is and what he can bring to the table. I am still riding with Bill. Give me Bill all day in Dallas. Doesn't bother me one bit.
So we're doing a little of overrated by the Commanders fan base or not. How about overrated by AWOD? I said Frankie Louvu would be an all-pro linebacker. He has not played at that level.
Nah, he got that third down hit on Caleb Williams that forced them into the fourth down where ultimately the field goal got blocked. But it didn't see enough from him. And all participate as well. Bobby Wagner. I want less Bobby Wagner, to be clear. He plays too much. But I fear that, you know, we're starting to see that lost step, that kind of, you know, Father Time, undefeated man. You ask anybody in the league about that. I worry we're starting to see the effects of that and that he's just not what he has been in past years in terms of being able. He can still diagnose the play. I just don't think he's able to get there as quickly as he has in the past.
You know, coming into this game, everybody said, this is the top running team against the worst rushing defense. And then we hear about the weather. That should have favored Washington. The weather really did affect this outcome in the damn Chicago Bears' favor.
It was mind-boggling to me. One, they couldn't get the running game going. I know the Bears had 15 days to prepare, but still, you had the talent edge there for sure. But two, Jaden really struggled with the slippery football. That was, I don't know if just he hadn't played in that kind of condition before or what, but it wasn't just that last fumble. There was the one where he kind of dribbled it to himself almost. It was fully unforced. It was just him running, and he lost the ball. A very strange day for Jaden, and again, no long-term concerns about Jaden Daniels, but a weird thing. Next time it rains, I'm going to think twice about picking these guys because of what we saw last night.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that. I'm going to give a shout-out to, I believe it's Jervon Dexter Sr. for the Chicago Bears. That was like the fattest man on the field. I mean, that's a big reason why that we could not run. I mean, we think Javon Kinlaw is like a monster. That guy was like double his size. It was just unbelievable how they would line him up in the middle, and we just could not run up the middle.
That's a big boy there. It would be, when you're standing next to defensive linemen and you look big, you're really big. And he certainly, he was bottling things up. That said, look at what DeAndre Swift did all day. Got to the outside. They didn't attack Kinlaw and Payne. They showed a lot of respect for Javon Kinlaw and Daron Payne. They did not give them the opportunities to inject themselves into the game. They ran off tackle. They ran sweep. They ran motion. They ran tosses. They ran off the screen. They ran a lot of different ways that were not shove it up the middle at their guys. Now, I don't have a problem with Cliff Kingsbury's game plan. I don't think the offense, you know, schematically is why they lost the game. You know, it was a one-score game. They put up 24 points. They turned it over three times. In a situation like that, you've probably done enough schematically. It's more in the execution. But I tip of the hat to the Bears for adjusting. You know, Kinlaw and Payne, great players. They moved the game away from them, and I think it really paid off for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that just simply came down to one team had a full extra week to prepare for this game, and they saw stuff on film, just like the Packers put film on tape that if you overload one side, what the Bears did, I'm worried how this can come back and bite us again later in the season. When DeAndre Swift, who rushed for a season-high 108 yards on 14 carries against the Commanders, ran outside, he ran for 91 yards on 8 carries. Inside, only 17 yards on 6 carries. Is that as simple as this, Michael? Like, we know how teams now respect Kinlaw and Payne. But when you have slower linebackers, Luvu and Wagner, and corners that are afraid to tackle or just not strong enough tacklers, like a Mikey Sainra still, or even Trey Amos and Marshawn Lattimore, you're going to be able to run outside. Like, every time they went outside, we were slow to get there.
Yeah, it's a really big concern moving forward. I'm not going to sugarcoat that, Adam, because when you get beaten by a good player, it's easier to justify. When the Raiders came in and they ran a lot of that motion concept with Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer, with their tight ends, and it's like, okay, that was really good, and that beat these guys. But also, not every team has players of that caliber as well. So sometimes you tip your hat to the other team. If Saquon runs on you for 100, you can say the next morning in the film room, yeah, we gave up 100. Yeah, we're ticked. But it's Saquon, right? Like, we're not going to play Saquon every week. I don't want to disrespect DeAndre Swift because he's put up good numbers in his NFL career. I think a lot of NFL teams have a player of DeAndre Swift's caliber on their roster. And that's what scares me, is when you get beaten by a player who's not a unicorn, who's not one of one. That really creates a situation now where other teams are going to be able to do this, and now you have the motion concepts, which you have to defend in a passing game. Now you have a running blueprint as well that the Cowboys are going to steal on the short week. There's a lot of work to do defensively to patch up these schemes in a short amount of time.
That's a great point, Michael, and one that we should follow up on later this week and for the rest of the season, because I love DeAndre Swift. I actually think he's been undervalued his entire time in the league. Detroit thought that they upgraded. He went to Philadelphia. He was 1,000-yard back. And then the last few years in Chicago, he's been close to 1,000-yard back. But you're right. I mean, as much as I like him, is he even a top 16 running back? Like, there's so many good running backs now in the league. Rico Dowdle. Look at this game he had. I would have picked DeAndre Swift over Rico Dowdle. Probably not anymore here. So, I mean, that's the real question. How good is DeAndre Swift actually? Because we made him look like a Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, he looked great yesterday. And his last 100-yard rushing performance was against these guys last year. So, you know, there's something in that matchup there he likes. And there's something in the matchup that they are able to get him out in space and take advantage of that. Didn't even try to go against Payne and Kinlaw, which was a great decision by them. But, you know this, football is a game of weaknesses, right? Basketball, you get the ball to the stars. It's a game of whose star is better. Football is a game of who has the less bad weakness. Everybody's going to pick on your weakness. This team has weaknesses. This defense has weaknesses, and they need to get them shored up.
Michael, always appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you later.
All right, catch you tomorrow.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck. Come on down, grab a beer, check out the show, take an extended lunch break here on a Tuesday. You deserve it, but it is a terrible Tuesday for Commanders fans like myself. We want to hear from you. Make this the most interactive radio show possible. Just vent about the loss. Tell us your frustrations, 833-804-0910. I'll tell you mine first. My reaction to the loss, I mean, I'm so pissed off, right? I mean, I really struggled to get to sleep last night. Stubb, I had to put on The Maze Runner on Netflix. I liked that movie as a kid. It put me to sleep last night, but it got me focused on other things, all right, which I needed.
No, absolutely. I have not seen that one, but that's an interesting... That's a loud movie, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, loud, a lot of action, people getting killed, robots. Yeah. It's what I needed. I didn't get to sleep till like 1:30 last night because I just couldn't stop thinking about the game. Then I put on that movie and then kind of got lost in it for a little. But I woke up today feeling like we just completely botched a game there. We lost that game ourselves. And... like, if you asked me, did the Bears make winning plays, right? Winning time plays. No! The Bears didn't make winning plays. I believe Washington dropped the game because Jaden Daniels dropped the ball. And here's the thing. If Jaden Daniels had a pattern of mistakes, if Jaden Daniels had a history of drops, I'd be furious. But he doesn't. He's the NFL Rookie of the Year quarterback. I still think he's way better than Caleb Williams. And I think I was proving that by the way this game played out. He dropped the ball. He's not done this before. And it's just like our head coach who got knocked down and got back up again. And our team motto for this season of getting knocked down and get back up again. He dropped the ball. He got knocked down. I'm pretty confident he's going to get back up again. We will bounce back. And I loved what I saw offensively from the second quarter to about the middle of the fourth quarter for that game. There was a lot to like. I'm pissed off because we lost, but there was a lot to like. I mean, we were without Terry McLaurin. We were without Noah Brown. Deebo Samuel was not in there for 100% of the snaps like usual, right? And yet Luke McCaffrey made a play. Jalen Lane made a play. Early on, Chris Moore was stepping up. I mean, this was an opportunity to see what other guys we have. And they gave us some juice, right? I mean, Jalen Lane with that huge catch. Luke McCaffrey played well, got into the end zone. And we really should have won that game with backup wide receivers. And to me, that's a big positive. So there's a lot to be disappointed about. And believe me, I'm angry. But I feel very strong about this team's ability to bounce back and get back up again and throw the next punch. And that next punch will be against our arch rivals, the Dallas Cowboys. If you want to chime in, 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. Let's go to Brad in Smithfield. What's up, Brad? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Adam. I was at the game last night. You know, they talk about the wet ball. It really wasn't that wet until, like, I don't know, half of the last fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So I don't see why they were complaining that much about the ball. I remember my biggest complaint last night. They called for a blackout. They advertised it all week long. Everybody blackout. And then they sell white parkas at the game. And why don't you look in the stands, you see everybody was white. That was my biggest complaint. You know, it's just like the organization. You know, you wouldn't see that. You wouldn't see that in Lando. I mean, you wouldn't see that in other teams. You'd see that from us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. That's frustrating. What about in terms of what took place on the field? What's the most upset you're about? What's the most thing you're upset about?
I mean, can we get a kicker?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't understand. Why do we punt on the 40-yard line at the end of the game?
You yeah.
That was a 57-yard field goal. Why can't we make that? I don't know. Yeah.
No. Well, that's a great point. We don't have confidence in our kicker. Dan Quinn does not have confidence in Matt Gay. And it's changed the outcome of two different games now. The Packers game could have been completely different, a 9-point loss if he had made two field goals and we had the ball at the end of the game there. And the Chicago game, yep. Not only did he miss in a game we lost by one, but the coaching staff did not have confidence in him to go out there and kick it from a distance that we're seeing kickers make around the league right now. And I think that's the thing that pisses me off most. This was an issue last year. It was an issue the year before that. Adam Peters was supposed to handle this, and he has not been able to yet.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
On to the Cowboys.
On to the Cowboys. Good call, man. I appreciate you chiming in. I think we can get back up again, for sure. But I had thought that Matt Gay had started to gain some confidence, and now I've lost all the confidence in him, and Dan Quinton as well. I mean, like, I think that was a great point by the caller there. We are in position before the fumble, right? The drive before that. We're in good position. We're at the Chicago 39-yard line. First and 10 at the Chicago 39-yard line with 8 minutes on the clock, and you're up by two. You have to win that game. You have to get one more first down or get a kicker that can go hit it from 55-plus and give yourself a four-point lead, a five-point, and then they need a touchdown to come back and win it. And I didn't think Chicago was going to move the ball fully down the field and into the end zone. Now, they did get all the way to a chip field goal at the end, right at the buzzer. But if they had to get a touchdown at the end, I think we would have won that game. And that was on Cliff Kingsbury there. It was three bad play calls in a row. And then it's an organizational issue that you don't trust your kicker to make from a distance that it feels like 75 to 90% of kickers are hitting from a consistent basis right now in the National Football League. First and 10 from the Chicago 39. Bill, no gain. Daniels, incomplete. Fourth down. Oh, yeah, we're going to punt. And it was a good punt by Tressway. Lands it inside of the 10. And we do get a three and out, right? So we did get the ball back. But we should have gotten the ball back up by five, being able to put the game to bed for good with that next drive there. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. So, I mean, that loss last night was a gut punch. And I know the locker room is sore, and they're definitely hurting from the defeat, so am I. But I'm pretty confident that the leaders of that locker room are not going to let this snowball into a bunch of defeats. I don't think so. It sucks because the schedule heats up right now. And we already took a game from L.A., right? Now we're going to have to go and take a game from Dallas. There were a lot of positives in this game, but, of course, the negatives overpower the positives. Those turnovers really piled up. I mean, Stubb, I don't know about you, but when this game got to 24-22 and Washington got the ball back, and this is actually during the drive that caller was talking about where they settle for the punt from the 40-yard line, but that whole drive I'm thinking, oh, no, we've made a handful of errors. We are one mistake away from giving the ball back to Chicago and an opportunity to lead and then win 25-24. My suspicions turned true. I never would have guessed that it would be Jaden Daniels losing focus and simply dropping the ball on a handoff, but that's exactly what happened. We had a comedy of errors already happened in that game, interception in the red zone, a bad fumble, and then one more fumble, one more to really just cost us the game. I just felt like we had made so many errors. What's this team going to do again? Just can continue to stub our toe. And if there's anything to be confused about, it's why when we got the ball back the second time up 24-22, right, did we go pass, 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 run, pass, pass? And I get it. Some of those play designs were pass and Jaden took off and ran. But why are we getting away from the rushing attack? Now, maybe it didn't have all the success in the first three quarters we had hoped, but this is what we talked about all week long. You have to be able to run the ball in the first half and then go back to it in the fourth quarter when the game's on the line. And like I said, Bill had already fumbled. Jeremy McNichols was running angry. I would have put him in. I would have had Jaden under center and gone actual smash-mouth football. It felt obvious. And here's the other thing. Let's just say Jaden hands it off to Bill on third and five. Did it really look like he was going anywhere? Everybody in America knew we were going to run the ball there. There was no creativeness to that. It was just a pistol handoff to Bill. He probably would have been stuffed at the line of scrimmage. I think we would have had to punt again or missed a field goal. Like, that was our opportunity to play smash-mouth football. And we put our extra tight ends in. And then we tried to, like, do cute runs around the outside. It just was frustrating. Really frustrating. I don't understand why this coaching staff loves shotguns so much, especially late in games when you put your quarterback under center. And then if you actually play action, he's got room to run himself and boot, right? That's how Chicago scored with Caleb. And that's how they got a key first down later, just booting their quarterback out. Just felt like Cliff Kingsbury got a little too obvious late in that game. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. We want to hear from you, Commanders fans. 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD, live and local here in Richmond, Virginia. We're broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck. Come on down, grab a beer, and check out this show. Recapping the football action from last night. There were two Monday night football games, and if you're a Falcons fan, it's a victory Monday. But I think 95% of our listeners, it's a terrible Tuesday for the Washington Commanders. And we'll get to some Commanders comments later. I've been reading what everyone's writing online. And I did like this one from Papa Jack, who listens to the show. He said, "Stub, I still can't get over gifting that game to the Bears. Just such an uncharacteristic mistake we've never seen from Jaden, especially with the game on the line. He was essentially perfect in must-have spots last year. Not much to read into it. Fluke mistake. He'll be locked in next week." And I love that positivity, but I'm with him. I can't get over gifting that game to the Bears. During the break, we played the CBS Sports Minute where they talk about how Ben Johnson had good situational football. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. His team did not deserve to win that game. All right? Washington lost that game way more than the Chicago Bears won it. And maybe that's not what they're saying in Chicago. They're probably butt-kissing DeAndre Swift so much. They're probably talking about how they think they have the better quarterback. No, you don't. No, you don't. Caleb Williams threw three interceptable passes. Washington just dropped all three of them. Let's get to the who, what, when, how, and why Washington lost the game. Stubb, you wanted to say something?
Jaden looked like Jaden, aside from that last play. Like, that was probably the best game he'd put on tape up to that point. Those three touchdowns that he threw were beautiful. His scrambles were fantastic. Like, that looked like the Jaden I knew until the end.
Yeah, yeah. And, look, Cliff Kingsbury was so fired up after that play because they had been going to that screen pass over and over again. They fake it, and it was just a terrific play design and execution and a big touchdown and a big spot to take the lead. And then you couldn't build off of that, right? And it's just so frustrating to see Quan Martin make that mistake. That was a training camp tackle when he tried to push DeAndre Swift out of bounds. Grab him and bring him down. Don't try to push him out of bounds because he's around the sidelines. And then Lattimore, who's already, you know, in the doghouse for most Commanders fans, kind of gave up on the play because he thought it was already going to be a tackle. So frustrating. If you want to chime in, we'd love to hear from you. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. All right, let's get to the who, what, when, how, and why Washington lost this game. The who? Stubb, the who is pretty easy. The who is DeAndre Swift. He won this game for the Chicago Bears with 7.7 yards per carry. He's burned us in the past, right? Michael said his last 100-yard game was against these guys, and he did it again. He's so freaking good against us. He's fast. He's quick. He's really hard to bring down in the backfield. And then, oh, yeah, the key third down, they're going to throw it to him, and he goes 55 yards to the house.
Got it away, and it's Swift with a catch, and still going. DeAndre Swift veers into the end zone.
DeAndre Swift with 175 yards by himself. 175 yards. That's more than Washington had with all their guys combined. The what lost this game? The what is turnovers? I mean, that's just so obvious. Like, I can't believe Jaden put it on the turf. I can believe Bill did. I do think we got a little bit ahead of ourselves in terms of hyping him up. I was concerned about fumbles, as I am always about rookie running backs. There was one last week. I would have cut down on his carries. Well, you had some other factors that came into this decision by the coaching staff. Number one, Chris Rodriguez was not at 100%. Number two, you don't have another guy. and three, McNichols needs to be your emergency scat back. So they went with Bill. He fumbled. They stuck with him. He still had a decent game. But, you know, Jaden's interception was in the red zone. So that took 3 points off the board, right? Bill's fumble put six on the board for Chicago, seven, right? And then the fumble at the end gave them three. So that's 13 points off of turnovers in a one-point loss. That's what lost the game. Where was this game lost? I do think this game was lost. Where? In the special teams department. Their kicker makes a clutch field goal after getting one blocked, and our guy doinked it. And it was like the loudest doink I've ever heard, right? I mean, I hear thunder that's not as loud as that doink right there at Northwest Stadium. I mean, Matt Gay, we've lost confidence in you. They also didn't put him out there for a 57, 58-yarder because he had missed earlier and because they didn't have trust in him. They decided to punt it deep. Well, that's another 3 points. Special teams was not as special as it needed to be. When was this game lost? This game was lost when Jaden fumbled the ball. I mean, I just had a gut feeling after that fumble he was not going to get the ball back. There was going to be no Hail Mary this year. Ben Johnson's a good coach. He understands how to get his team into position for a walk-off field goal. That was not good situational coaching. That was just Washington not having good tacklers. I mean, it was third down, and they were going to have to attempt like a 50-yard field goal stub, and they did a pitch to DeAndre Swift, and two guys went the wrong way. And they just got out in front with their offensive linemen and blocked, and he ran for 15 yards. And once again, I said the stat earlier, I'm going to say it again. When he ran the ball up the middle, he was stuffed. Got nothing. Stuffed potatoes when he ran up the middle. He had six carries up the middle for 17 yards. That's less than three. We're going to win that game. But when he ran an outside, eight carries for 91 yards, that is 11 yards a pop. When they ran it outside, I mean, that was the difference, right? When Jaden fumbled, I just knew with the way they were able to run the ball, we were not going to get the ball back. How did Washington lose this game? Giving up too many yards, right? I mean, this loss comes down to the turnovers and the fact that the defense gave up 381 total yards, 19 first downs. You talk about how the first, you know, quarter of this game, the Bears kind of like dog walked it again up and down the field, just like the Buffalo Bills did. 9 plays, 41-yard field goal. 8 plays, 36-yard field goal. Down 6-0 and a 1. How did Washington lose this game? You gave up way too many yards. And as much as we were able to have good drives, the Bears, when they needed it most, moved the ball down the field and into field goal range. We could not stop them. Why did Washington lose this game? Because we beat ourselves. You know, Dan Quinn, he admitted it afterwards. You're not going to win many games when the turnover battle is minus three. Yeah. 0 for Washington, 3 turnovers for Chicago. We also had 5 penalties for 40 yards. I know they had more penalties than us, but 2 of them gave up automatic first downs and in bad spots, and one of them was a drive in which we had Chicago pinned deep, and they were going to be faced with a 3rd and long, but it was a defensive holding automatic first down. And then they continued to drive down the field after that. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. That was the who, what, when, how, and why Washington lost 25-24 to the Chicago Bears. We'll give you our box score breakdown and AWOD's 10 takeaways from the defeat coming up next. We want to hear from you, Commanders fans. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. It's always tough after a loss here on a terrible Tuesday, but to me, it always feels better when I get to vent out my frustrations, when I talk to my friends, fans of the Commanders, so we want to hear from you, 833-804-0910. I am staying positive that if there's one thing this team has shown, when they get knocked down, they're going to get back up again. Jaden got knocked down. I think he's going to get back up and have a great game next week against our arch rivals, the Dallas Cowboys. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back on The Fan.